All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians, chapter 3. I have a couple of key things that I want to share with you this evening. About Isaac and his relationship with his father, Abraham. And I want to begin here in the third chapter of the book of Galatians. And I want to read just one verse before we proceed on. All right, Galatians chapter 3. All right, and look at verse 8, please. Well, let's go back and get 6. All right, it says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now watch this very carefully in verse 8. And the, what's the next word?
Scripture.
All right, the scripture, foreseeing, key word, and the scripture, all right, look here, Old Testament, and the scripture, foreseeing, looking over into the New Testament. All right, don't forget that. That's one fantastic reason why we know the Bible is inspired of God. Man would never have conceived what the Bible has written, comparing and contrasting the Old Testament with the New Testament. As I've said to you before, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so, in verse 8, Paul says, "And the Scripture foreseeing," in other words, in the Old Testament, "foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith." Now watch this. "Preached before the gospel unto Abraham." Now, do you see that? Preached before the gospel. In other words, preached before the Lord Jesus was crucified, was buried, and then resurrected. So before Jesus did that for us, for the world, before he died for our sins, Paul says that the gospel was preached to Abraham, saying, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." Now, just exactly what does that mean? Does that mean that God showed up, if you will, to Abraham in a dream or in a vision and explained his plan to Abraham? Explained what he was going to do? Is that what that means? Does that mean that God showed up to Abraham and said, "Abraham, here's my plan. Now, I announced this plan the first time in Genesis 3:15. And, of course, there was no Genesis at that time because Abraham was on this earth a long time before Moses was. And Moses was the one that gave us the book. But could he have showed up and said, "I'm going to tell you my plan, here's my plan. And then start with Adam's sin and explain Adam's sin. And then take it all the way down until eventually Jesus comes, dies on that cross, is buried, and then resurrects, and then ascends back to heaven. Well, I don't know how it happened, but I do know from verse 8 that Abraham knew the gospel before there ever was a gospel. Isn't that awesome? You say, how were people saved in the Old Testament? Same way they're saved in the New Testament. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. And what we read here is in verse 6, and this is key. It says that Abraham, what's the next word? Believed God. Isn't that what you have done? Did you not believe the gospel? Did you not believe God? You believed what God said about his son, the Lord Jesus. Did you not? And so when Abraham believed God, all the way back in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Just like when you and I believe today, it is counted unto us for righteousness. You understand that? All right, good. Now, and the scripture, verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Man, I'm glad God is able to justify the heathen, aren't you? All right, let's pray, and then we're going to start right there tonight. All right, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for the word, and I pray you'll bless this to our hearts this evening. We rejoice in the blessings of our salvation. We rejoice in realizing all that you have done for us. And I pray as we look a little more deeply at it this evening, that Father, you'll just encourage our hearts and bless us in a great way. We thank you for Abraham's faith, and he heard your plan. You gave it to him. Somehow, we don't know how, but you gave it to him. And he understood and he believed. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And Father, I pray now that you will bless as we look at this plan you gave him. And may our faith be strengthened and may our faith be encouraged tonight. So guide and direct now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want you to realize that all of this that we have been speaking about for the last several weeks now, and of course I missed two Wednesday nights, the last two, but what we've been speaking about for all these months up to now is the fact that Abraham had a promise. All right, now God was going to send his Redeemer, his Son. He promised that Redeemer in Genesis 3:15, and he was going to send that Redeemer. And so the only way God could do that was for him to have a plan as to when and how he would bring his Son here. And so that's where the virgin birth comes into play. That's where the virgin birth comes into play. Jesus, our Savior, had to be born of a virgin to fulfill Scripture. But he also had to be born of a virgin so as not to inherit the sin nature that you and I inherited from our parents. All right, so he was born of a woman, but not of a man. The Holy Spirit placed the seed inside Mary's womb, and the Lord Jesus came into this world. All right, so here now is Abraham and Sarah, and they have been called by God, and they obeyed God. Now, there were some difficulties along the way due to lack of faith, but nonetheless, Abraham had faith in God, and that faith grew, and as that faith grew, the Lord gave him more. He gave him more understanding, more knowledge. And so now Abraham is well up in years. He is now up at 99 years of age. His wife is 90 years of age. And yet they still do not have a son. They have a promise, but they do not have an heir. God said that he was going to bless the seed of Abraham, and yet Abraham has no seed. And now the miracle of it is, here's Abraham, almost a century old, and here is Sarah, who is 90 years old. And the whole issue now for Abraham and Sarah, the whole issue now becomes a matter of faith. And God put Abraham to test to see whether or not he would trust in the Lord to fulfill the promise and do what he said he was going to do. And folks, in order for God to do what he said he was going to do, God had to do the impossible. He had to do the impossible. All right? Now don't forget, Abraham and Sarah are both well past the age of having a child. Well past the age. Now, let me show you this from the Bible, all right? Let's go back to Genesis, to the book of Genesis, and I want you specifically to turn to chapter 16. All right, Genesis and chapter 16. All right, look please at verse 1, chapter 16 and verse 1. And verse 1 says, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah," now watch this, "Sarah said to Abraham," right? Now, it was not Abraham who said to Sarah. It was Sarah who said to Abraham. All right? What'd she say? Look at it. "Behold now, the Lord," and that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah. That is God's covenant name. That is God's name in relation to redemption. Every time you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, every time you see that in your Old Testament, what you are seeing is God's covenant name. All right? Jehovah. The tetragrammaton. No vowels. We don't know if it was Jehovah or if it was Jehovah, we don't know. But Jehovah kind of rolls off the tongue, and that's what stuck. All right? "And Sarah said unto Abraham," watch this, "behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Do you know what she's saying right there? She's saying, I'm barren. I cannot have a child. I can't. I'm too old. I'm too old. I cannot bear a child. So here was what she decided. She thought to tell Abraham, go in unto my maid, to Hagar, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now that was a big mistake that they're still paying for today. The descendants of Abraham are still paying for today. But notice, folks, the Bible makes sure we know that Sarah was way beyond childbearing years. We have her own testimony that she is unable to have a child. It's by her own testimony. Now, I mention this to bring out a specific matter that I really think is important for us to see. Now watch, which is this. Now watch. Although Abraham believed God and was called the father of the faithful, we know from the record in the book of Genesis that Abraham also had some lapses of faith along the way. There were some times, and right here's one of them, there were some times in from the time the promise was made in chapter 12 until it was fulfilled, there were several lapses along the way, and there were times in Abraham's life when serious doubts and questions came into his mind. How can this be? How can I have a child at this age? How can Sarah have a child at this age? And it was in one of these depressed states that the enemy, the devil, found occasion to tempt him, and as a result, now he tempted him with Sarah's blessing. All right? So, I mean, the devil never stops. Now, had the devil just come to Abraham and said, why don't you have a child by Hagar? Abraham probably would have said, mm-mm, no, that's not right, and you know it. Get away from me. But didn't we have the same scenario in the Garden of Eden? I think the devil came to Adam, and Adam said, get out of here. Get out of here. I'm not listening to you. And so then the devil came to Eve. And Eve talked Adam into doing what the devil could not talk Adam into doing. And that is exactly what happened here. I think that Sarah came along with this plan. And I think if the devil had attacked him straight up, he would have said, no way. But when Sarah came in, threw her two cents in and said, why don't you do this? Now, folks, Hagar was a young woman. She was young. He's old. And boy, he thought that was a good idea. All right? But he shouldn't have done it. Because what happened was this kid was born, and his name was Ishmael. And Ishmael ended up being a constant thorn in the side of the seed of Abraham, the Jews, and is still a thorn today. Today, they are, the descendants of Ishmael are firing rockets into Israel. Today, they are planting bombs and exploding them with remote control. Today, they are sneaking artillery into their city, Gaza. I mean, it has never stopped. It has never stopped. All right, now, when Ishmael was born, this is going to throw you, but when Ishmael was born, he was born to trouble Abraham and his seed. Folks, there is always consequences to sin. Always. And Abraham found that out. Ishmael was born to trouble Abraham and his descendants from the very day that that boy came into this world. And when Ishmael was born, Abraham, you ready for this, was 86 years old. Another 13 years passed by. And in this period of time, Abraham became like Sarah. Now remember, we read in 16:2 that Sarah was unable to have a child. All right, now I'm not trying to start anything. I don't want to start a war here, but I'm gonna make a statement, and then that's the only time I'm gonna make it. All right, in connection to Abraham and to Sarah. All right, look at me. Here's the statement. Abraham or Sarah admitted in 16:2, and then I'm going to take you over into the New Testament here in just a moment, and I'm going to show you that Abraham professed the same thing. Now, we don't read about it here in Genesis, but we do read about it in the New Testament in the book of Romans. So go back over there to chapter 4. Romans 4. And look, please, at verse. Well, let's read a couple of verses, all right? All right, let's begin in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. It is salvation. Therefore, salvation is of faith, that it might be by grace. So it's faith on our part, grace on God's part. To the end, the what? The promise. What are we dealing with Abraham? We're dealing with a promise. Yes, sir. All right. So he says, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So not only the promise given to Abraham, and not only the promise given to Abraham's seed, but the promise given to the heathen. That's us. If you're not Jewish, in God's eyes, you're a heathen. All right? That's rather harsh language, especially with our definition of heathen today. But if you're not a Jew, then you are a heathen in God's eyes. And so you'll remember that we read in chapter 3 that the Lord was going to come for the heathen. All right? God was going to send Jesus for the heathen. So not just for Abraham, not just for the Jews, but for all of us. All of us. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. It's just that simple. Jesus came for all. All right, but now look back at the verse 16. But to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, parentheses, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, where's that written? Chapter 12, when God made the promise, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Reading on. Before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope. All right, now we're talking about Abraham here. All right, and look at verse 18. Abraham, who against hope. What's that mean? That means he's 86 years old, folks. Against hope. He's sitting there saying, I've got this promise, and now I'm 86 years old. Sarah has already admitted that she is, here's the word, impotent. She cannot reproduce. Her own testimony. You with me? Look at the rest of the verse. Who against hope, however, believed in hope. He believed in hope. Remember, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, he stumbled along the way, yes, but he eventually believed God. When? When God brought him to the furthest point he could bring him without him dying. And then God did the miraculous and gave them a child. All right? So read on. Read on. Verse 18, where it says that he might be the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now watch. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. So it took him a while to get there. That's the point. He stumbled along the way. He had some setbacks. He had some questions. He had some problems understanding. You remember when the angels told Abraham and Sarah was behind the tent flap, she heard and she laughed. And that's why her son ended up being named Laughter, Isaac. All right, so here in this 19th verse, when he was about 100 years old, read the rest of it, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not. Folks, it took him a long time to get there. It took him a long time to get there. Paul said that Abraham's 100-year-old body was impotent. Sarah admitted that her 90-year-old body was impotent. But God still had not fulfilled the promise. And by that time, when he was 99 and when she was 90, Abraham came to grips with his faith. Not that he didn't have faith before, he did. But he came to grips with it. And I think that the reason he did, the reason that he did that was because God took them along to the place where, when the promise was fulfilled, they could not take credit for it. The only explanation for the promise being fulfilled was that God did it. That's the only explanation, folks. Go back to Genesis now, chapter 18. All right, let me show you another important verse here. In verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. This is the story I was telling you about a moment ago. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Now she's old. She has never had a child, and now she's an old woman. She already admitted over here in chapter 16, she admitted to Abraham that she was barren. She could not have a child. She admitted her situation, her condition. Now, look at what God says in verse 11. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it, what's the next word? Ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now, I don't need to explain that to you. You know what it's saying. So when Sarah heard, all right, this is the parentheses around the story. This is telling you what was going on behind the tent flap when the angels were talking to Abraham. All right, so you got a little parentheses here. And the Holy Spirit tells us through Moses that Abraham and Sarah were old and that it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she could not have a child. She had gone through menopause. It was impossible for her to have a child. Okay? Read on. Therefore, behind the tent flap, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And folks, what I'm trying to get you to see here is that God just led them along. If this promise was made to you, how would you have handled it? Would you have not stumbled along the way? I figure you would. I figure all of us would. All right? And so when they got to the point where they're both well stricken in age, he's a century, she's 90. That was when the Lord said, okay, I've got you where I want you to be. I want you here so that you will realize that when you have this promised seed, it could only have happened because I made it happen. Okay? Isn't that awesome? All right, look at 18 Let's see. Now we'll skip that for now, because I want to do one other thing. So God, the point is, God brought them to the place where if the promise was to be fulfilled, it would have had to have been done by a miracle from God himself. That's the bottom line. Now, let's look at that, at the picture of that, and see how it applies to the Lord and his gospel. Go over for a moment now to Romans again and look at chapter 4, Romans chapter 4. And let's begin reading in verse 1. Paul says, "What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture?" Well, here's what it says. We just read it a few moments ago. "Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So Abraham believed God. He believed God. It does not say that he believed in God. No, he believed God. So folks, what did he believe? The promise. Remember, God explained it all to him. That's what Paul said in Galatians 3. God explained it to Abraham and led him throughout his entire life. And he led him down the path, showing, telling and explaining what he was going to do. And now here is Abraham, an old man, and we're told he believed God. And when he believed God, then God, it was counted to him for righteousness. And that's when the promise was fulfilled. In other words, folks, he believed God's promise of a long-delayed, supernaturally born son, the type of God's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world in a miraculous way. And so did the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? You see that? Remember, the supernatural act of God. There's no other way to explain that. And Abraham understood it. All right, look at verse 18 and 19, and then I'll quit. All right, we read this a few minutes ago. "Who against hope," verse 18, "believeth in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead." In other words, he believed God. He believed God. He claimed the promise. "And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb." So the passage says that Abraham believed in hope against hope. I mean, humanly speaking, there was absolutely no hope. All right? That's what that means. But Abraham had been taught for all these years, from the time he was first given that promise in chapter 12. And some way along the line, God revealed to him the gospel and how that gospel was going to affect. And when Abraham got 99 years of age, he probably sat and scratched his head and thought, all right, I got this promise, and God cannot lie. Sarah, you say you're dead? She goes, yep. Yeah, me too. But Sarah, we have a promise. And you know, we've been dealing with God, and God's been dealing with us for all these years. And you know, if we don't have that child, there's not going to be any Jewish nation. And if there is no Jewish nation, there is no Redeemer. And he had hope in that which was hopeless. And he believed. And when he believed, that's when God stepped in and did the miraculous. Does that make sense to you? Amen. That's neat, isn't it? All right. Well, let's pray. We'll be dismissed. All right. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your many, many, many blessings to us. We are so grateful that we have a salvation that's eternal. We have a Savior that's eternal. We have a Bible that's eternal. And now, because of what you did in fulfilling the plan, we have life in us that is eternal. And Father, we thank you for that. We are a blessed people because we know you. And so, Father, I pray you'll bless this to our hearts tonight and encourage us and help us not to get weary in well-doing, but just realize who we serve. And, Father, help us to be strong in our faith as we serve. Abraham believed you, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Father, give us that same faith. Give us that strength. Give us the ability to believe in hope against hope. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.